Thank Miss Ruthie and Chase. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. Turn to John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. We're going to be, that's a long chapter. We're going to begin reading in verse number 60, 60, and then to the end of the chapter. John chapter 6, verse number 60, to the end of the chapter. Now, when we get to this point, the beginning of chapter 6, we've had the feeding of the 5,000. Now, if you go into chapter 5, Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. Well, no, he preached a sermon there. It's not necessarily a Sermon on the Mount, is it? Anyway, he preached a sermon. He talked to all those people. He got done preaching. They got ready to leave, and he said, you know, we can't send these folks home hungry, and so we got to feed them. And, of course, then they feed the 5,000 men plus women and children. And then, so after that's over, he puts all the disciples in a boat and says, I want you to go on over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray and relax. And but in the middle of this other way down, they rode and all night and so forth and so on, and it couldn't get across, a storm, terrible thing. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And of course, you know, he's going to walk past them, and they said, hey, look who it is. So he saves them, gets in a boat, and immediately they're at the other side of the sea. Now, all this has gone on, and then we get to a little further there. He's talking about, he's preaching some other things, talking about, I'm the bread of life, and he said that there was some, unless you eat of my body and eat of my, and drink of my blood, you cannot enter in. And of course, he was talking not of transubstantiation, but said, you've got to accept the bodily crucifixion. You've got to accept the awfulness of what our sin has done to him, accept what he did on the cross for us. And so anyway, there was a lot was going on there. But anyway, in verse number 60, it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Now remember, there's quite a crowd there, and disciple means learner. That's what it means. Now, he had 12 folks who were learners who stuck with him. But there was a lot of learners. You know, it's interesting. Every time Jesus got a crowd, he'd say something and lose most of them. By the time he got ready to be crucified, he had the 12 and some ladies. It's amazing. And you know what? The fact is, if you preach the Word of God for what it is, there are going to be some folks who are going to be drawn to it. And there's going to be some folks who's going to be appalled by it. Hang on to that. So when it says in verse 61, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, and he's talking about more than just his 12 disciples, murmured at him. He said unto them, doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, hang on to that, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Believe not what? The words. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed and who should betray him. Did he say he decided who was going to believe and who was going to betray him? He said he knew. He's God. He knows the end from the beginning. Verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. We'll talk about that. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now, understand what's going on here. They are making a choice. Some made a choice to walk away. Some are making a choice to stay. The ones that walked away, that says there's a hard hearing, hard saying, who can hear it? Listen to what these people said. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Watch this. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. He chose them all, knowing that one of them was a devil. And this is in John 6. Judas hung around to the very end. And he knew. Let's have a word of prayer. And I'm going to talk about, in the midst of all this going on with the predestination and Calvinism that I've been doing, there's a few other words I want to deal with that can throw folks off. And I really feel like I need to. In fact, I've had quite a few folks mention and remark about some things that they've run into and they have been confused about over the years, and thinking that, hey, if they preach salvation by grace through faith, they must agree with everything else. And that's not necessarily the truth. So we're going to talk about the word chosen. Chosen. We're really not going to get to it until about the end of the message, but I want to build ourselves up to it. So I want you to hang tight with me. That's our word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for these truths that we're about to look at here this morning. And I need your Holy Spirit to make sure that I do what's right, that I convey it clearly and concisely. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts and give us what we need. Draw us to you, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. My voice is going out on me. Now, this may be kind of heavy. Again, if we do not know what the Bible is truly saying, when we just read it superficially, we can easily be taken down a road that the Lord never intended. There are certain words in Scripture that have been associated with Calvinistic predestination. Certain words tend to be considered foolproof evidence of these doctrines, and they aren't. First, allow me to remind you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. We cannot pick and choose which Scriptures we're going to emphasize. We must include all Scripture when deciphering the meaning of God's Word. Secondly, allow me to say that some Scriptures are more easily understood than others. And we can compare Scripture with Scripture and ascertain the full meaning of the words, and thus we will be better able to understand the overall meaning of God's Word in certain key words. Now, we're going to talk about the word chosen. The word chosen is, let me say it right, eklegomai. Eklegomai. No, not my Legos. Eklegomai. Let go of my Lego. Anyway, it's getting hungry here. It's getting close to lunchtime. Now, the word is used in Luke 10. It says, but one thing is needful. Do you remember Mary and Martha? They came to visit, and Martha was cumbered about with many things, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That's really the word we're talking about. To select, to act, the act of having made a choice. It was chosen. She chose. She had already chosen. She already made a choice. It's kind of a past tense of choose. Now, sometimes people make a bigger deal out of this word than they ought to. They allow it to be the determining factor as to whether a person will be saved or not. They think they're going to be. We talk about choosing Christ. The Calvinists talk about Christ choosing us. The fact is, he has chosen us. But that doesn't mean that we don't get a say in what we're doing here. Allow me to give you a simple example of chosen in this passage, and I think it's going to help us make it clear. There are a lot of hard sayings in this passage, so hang tight. It's going to take until the very end to accomplish the goal this morning. And hopefully, when we arrive at the end of the trail, you'll understand why we took this path. Lord takes the people through this route to achieve the same purpose. Number one, some folks seek Jesus for what he can do for them. There's a few other little things here we're going to see in this passage. Some folks seek Jesus for what he can do for them physically, monetarily, materially. In our passage here, go back to verse 24. Now, we're not going to do every verse. Don't get scared. They're not looking to be changed or made clean by the blood. They think they are fine the way they are, but they do want Jesus to give them what they want. Look at verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, he had just fed the 5,000. When they saw that he was not there that next morning, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. There is something more important than our daily physical needs. If we go to God to have him meet our spiritual needs, he will meet our physical needs too. If we only go to God to have him meet our physical needs, don't expect him to meet your spiritual needs. Instead of seeking food so they can live for a day, seek the sustenance that will let you live for eternity. Look at verse 27. Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Labor, toil, get engaged in, be concerned and preoccupied with. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed or stamped on him. It really just means God has put his name on Jesus. Now, Jesus is telling them to put their efforts into spiritual things more so than physical things. And apparently, Jesus believes, listen to that passage, believes that people have the capacity to choose to labor for physical things or labor for spiritual things. He just said that. Did he not? Maybe not in so many words, but he's telling them to make a choice, make a decision. Keep that in mind. So apparently, they're not too depraved to seek truth. Number two. So if we are to make an effort to do spiritual things, what does that kind of effort look like? Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Okay, what do we do to work the works of God? Then said they unto him, what do we do? Now, what should our efforts be directed towards? Look at verse 29. Jesus said unto him, this is the work of God. Ready? Here it is. That ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the work of God. That's what he really wants. Now, if you really, truly believe who he is, there's a lot of things you're going to change in your life. You'll probably start doing different things. You might show up in church. Right? He said, believe. That means to entrust, to put yourself in trust. To entrust it, to Put yourself in trust. Take your life. Take your soul. Take your living. Take your very being. And you're going to put it, so to speak, in the hands of the Lord Jesus. And what he does with you is what we're going to submit to. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing we can do to make sure we have eternal life is to believe on Jesus. And we need to be focused on entrusting our life to Jesus. How did that work? You don't need to turn to it, but how did that work for the Philippian jailer? Acts chapter 16, we covered that some weeks ago on Wednesday night. After Paul and Silas had been put in jail for preaching, and all the walls shook and everything, everybody was loose, and they stayed there, and the jailer came in and he said, "Don't kill yourself, we're all here." He says, and they brought them out, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Watch the first next thing. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And it took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Now, I want you to understand something here. Jesus kind of mentioned it already, and now here it is again. If we want to believe, we need to hear the word. You were here last week. This is the same process. You've got to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible does not say faith cometh by regeneration. Regeneration comes from faith. The first thing he told them to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a choice. Number three, what do we need in order to be able to believe? Well, this is where Calvinism kind of goes on its own path. This is what Calvinism is really speaking to. Calvinism says that a man has to be regenerated first so that he can get past his total depravity so he can believe in Jesus as Savior. And if that is true, then why preach the gospel to every creature? If they can't get saved anyway until the Lord decides to change their hearts so they can believe, Why in the world preach? But wait a minute. We need the preaching of the word so we can see Jesus for who he is in order to entrust him as our Savior from our sin. Look at verse 30. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" There's kind of a sense of a sarcasm here within the grammar of this. In other words, well, what can you do to prove to us who you really are? That you really are who you say you are so we can truly believe. Impress us, Jesus, if you really are God. Because we'll be the judge of what is truth. Do you realize a lot of people are doing that? They're waiting for God to show himself before they decide, well, I'll believe on him if I see something. Well, look at creation. Look at the human body. This was not a good specimen, but it's still amazing. You know what I'm saying? Just look at the eyeball. Amazing. The functioning. This sounds terrible, but the more trouble I have physically and have to go to the doctor to find out, the more I find out how amazing our body is and how all these little parts are put together. If you don't have all the parts, it won't work. Found that out too. But, all these little parts and functions. And this is going to cause this problem, but that's all right because God put this in here. And he's got this going on. Look what they say in verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it was written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Oh. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Moses didn't stay up all night making bread and throw it in the air so it falls down in the morning. God did that. But my Father giveth you, watch, the true bread from heaven. Now when he says he giveth you, that's the present tense. He says, I'm right here. God is giving you the bread of heaven. Jesus can say that. It's right here, right now. Which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. He said unto them, I am the bread of life. Watch. He that, this is important, cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So if we want the bread, we need to come and get it. But are we coming to be fed physically, or are we coming to Jesus? Do you go to church to get your finances fixed, or do you go to church to know the Savior? He came to give us life and life more abundantly. And he that hath the Son hath life. Faith says, believe and see. Unbelief says, well, let us see and maybe we'll believe. These people who are asking this, the white people, remember, had just the other day, just the day before, seen him feed 5,000 people. And they said, we need something more than that. You know what? They said, show us and we will believe. These people were not going to believe. They had already seen the feeding of the 5,000. They still did not believe. They had already heard Jesus on the mountain preaching, and they didn't believe. Watch, it's not that they cannot believe, but that they refuse to believe even after hearing the word of truth. Do you remember the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus the beggar? You know, and he wiped his sores and everything. The dog licked his sores and so forth. And the rich man died, and Lazarus died. And Lazarus ended up in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man ended up in torments. Do you hear there's new life in here? And the rich man ended up in torments. And they, somehow it says, it makes it so they can see each other. And the rich man says to Abraham, he says, I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham, that thou would send him to my father's house. I want you to send Lazarus back to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. No, they got the Bible. They got the Bible. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, no, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, and we had some kind of wild thing happen, something physical that they can see, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Persuaded. What does that mean? To change your view on it. To make a choice. They're trying to be a big team, but the fact is, there are people, well, he was chosen. He was chosen. God has chosen us, but we have to choose him back. If a person is going to refuse to believe in Jesus, he will not believe no matter what the Lord reveals to him. Look at verse 36. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Remember back in verse 26, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You saw me feed 5,000 people, and all you can say is, give us some more to eat. You believe I'm a great caterer, but you do not believe I'm God your Savior. Have you ever noticed that Christians see certain things and they see the Lord working in it, and non-believers can't see the miraculous things around them? Have you ever noticed that? Well, God never did anything in my life. Well, you're breathing, buddy. You know? No, it wasn't luck. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as fate. Number four. If you want God to truly take care of your physical needs and your spiritual needs, then come to Him. The problem is many people are not willing to believe in Him enough to come to Him. Let me put these verses in context. Look at verse 34. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Watch. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That word all in verse 37 is the word whosoever, like we talked about some weeks ago. So he says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Ye also have seen me and not believe. Whosoever that the Father giveth me shall come to me, be present with him, relationship with him, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Listen, if you are willing to believe on him, the Lord will make you fit to come to Jesus and be present with him. Now, who does the Father give to Jesus? Those that have yielded to the preaching of God's word and believed. And once you are present with him, you have a relationship with Jesus. He will never cast you away from him. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. God wants all of us. Now, let me give you a summary of the plan here. Verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we see who Jesus is, and then we believe on him, and then we have everlasting life. Now, there's an issue here. He wants us to see who he is. We need to, and you can see who he is in the Word of God. So we have the preaching of the Word, we have the choice to believe, and then he gives us to Jesus. What about the people who've never heard? And they don't go. That's hard. It is hard. But let me ask you a question. Suppose somebody in here got mad at something I preached at or something other, and they got mad at God. In the meantime, they have some kids. They refuse to go to church, refuse to hear the word of God. They turn it off every time they hear it, and they don't let their kids hear it. And so the kids grow up without having really any knowledge, true knowledge of what God is. So they haven't seen him. So they can't believe on him. Whose fault is that? It's the parents' fault. So in other words, parents are going to go to hell and make sure their kids go with them. Now, what if that happens for generations and generations and generations? You may have a whole society that's godless. And that's what you see in the world. It was somebody's fault. Somebody dropped the ball. That's why we have missionaries. So by the grace of God, they can hear it again. That's why you need to make sure that you're ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. Because some have never heard. I'm getting done here. We naturally cannot fathom that Jesus is our salvation. We have to have it preached to us. In other words, we can easily reason away the thought that some man who lived 2,000 years ago, named Jesus, is going to give us eternal life. I mean, think about that. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. And they said, wait a minute. Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? I mean, his father and mother, we know his parents. What do you mean he came down from heaven? We know his parents. How is it that when he said, I came down from heaven? Watch. We will not naturally believe in Jesus as our Savior, but the Lord will draw us through his word. Those who do not have the opportunity to be drawn by the Savior of his word cannot believe in him. They've got to hear truth. Look at verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, you know who makes the choice whether people are going to die and go to hell or not? Besides each person individually on their own, those of us who choose or choose not to give out the gospel. Amen. Amen. They've got to hear, and they've got to, he said, they've learned. That means they've understood. Romans 10 says this, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all was rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's what we need to do. But wait a minute. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? But how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how the faith comes. Listen, the faith doesn't come because God all of a sudden zaps faith on you. We're all given a measure of faith. Every time you get in the car, you're trusting your car and the brakes. You know what I'm saying? Every time you go over a bridge, you're trusting the architect who put that thing up there. And all the people who worked. We have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And by Isaiah is very bold, saith, I was found among them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I've been giving you the gospel, but you've got to decide you're going to take it. Number 7. The Spirit quickens us through the Word of God. Look at your passage, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh. I'm sorry, that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Okay? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Listen, even though the words of God give life, there are going to be some who will not accept them and trust them. Look at verse 64. But there's some of you that believe not. And that word believe, it keeps means to entrust. There are some of you who won't put your trust in that. We've got to trust the car, get in the car, but you got to trust it to go somewhere, right? But there's some people, they're not going to go, they're going to walk. Problem is, you'll never get there. You'll walk until you're dead tired and you're still not going to make it in. We got to trust Him. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. So it is your choice. Jesus did, watch, Jesus did not decide who would believe. However, He knew who was going to believe. Look, for Jesus knew, verse 64 in the middle. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore, I unto you, that no man can come unto me, accompany me, a relationship with Jesus, except it were given of him of my Father. So the relationship with Jesus is given to them when they have accepted the truth that they have heard in the preaching of the Word of God. So watch me. I chose that woman to be my bride. But there was one thing standing in my way. What was that? She's got to choose to take me. Every once in a while she says, I'm so glad that you have me. And I said, I'm so glad you've been had. Listen, she has to make a choice. Now watch me. She makes a choice, but says no one can come to him unless the Father giveth. Now watch this. I need something that needs somebody old enough. Well, old enough to be. Jimmy, are you able to come up and help me a second? You're gonna trust. I want you to go back about three pews, and I want you to take this gal right here and give her away. All right, yeah. Now she's made a choice. But the Father, we make a choice by the Word, we believe. But then the Father gives us to Jesus. Now wait a minute, who's Jesus? He's the bridegroom, the church is the bride. The bride, the groom offers. She believes His Word. And the Father makes her fit for the bridegroom. And then He gives the bride to Jesus for a relationship. So he comes down here, and who giveth this woman to be married to this man? I do, the Father. And now watch, the Father lets Jesus be preeminent. He's Lord, well, thank you. Appreciate it. See, that's what I'm talking about. Don't let predestination take your choices away from you. God has given you a choice. Listen, you know what I could do? I could show up in the middle of the night with a gun, handcuff her, and drag her off. And somehow think she's going to love me. You ever watch any of these old westerns? You know, of course, she ends up loving the guy anyway. I don't know, it's always weird. But, you know, crazy stuff. So, listen, we have a choice. And did God choose us? Let me do the last couple of verses. I've got to be done. I'm sorry. I can't shut out, can't close out yet. So the choice whether you will believe and be given by the Father, I'm sorry, it is your choice whether you will believe and be given by the Father the capacity to come to the Son for a relationship. Watch verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. But wait a minute. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you're not willing to walk with Jesus, you don't have eternal life. They did not come unto him because they believed not. It's not that they had not heard him preach the word. It was not that they had not seen the miracles. It was because they refused to believe. It's a hard saying. Who can hear it? I'm done. Others did not go away, but came unto him because they believed. Look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Simon Peter answers him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What's he trusting? The word. And we believe and trust and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So those who are chosen, watch, by God, still need to choose to believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen thee? Chosen you, 12, and one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot. Listen, he chose us. Yes, he chose you, but he chose all of us. But he also knows who's not going to believe. He knows who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. He chose them, but they had to choose him back. Judas chose not to choose him back. Certain theologians want us to believe that in order to have faith to be saved, you must be part of the chosen of God. The Lord has already chosen all of us. We then complete the relationship with Jesus by choosing to believe in him. And those that choose to believe are given by the Father to the Son, and he will in no wise cast us out. She chooses to believe that I'm a good man to be hooked up with. As his daddy to her father, can I do that? He says, sure, dear. May we make you fit and stretch you up, and I'll present you to your groom. If you're waiting for God to choose you, wait no more. He's there. He's waiting. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I know this is a heavy, it's kind of a long, drawn out message here. And forgive my voice. But the fact is, in some ways, the deal's in your hands. God's already laid it all out. You need to take it.